This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's the Fan Upstate. Got a couple of things to tell you real quick before we jump to the phone lines to our next lovely guest. Number one, if you didn't catch the last segment, or if you don't have a window, if you're in the Greenville area, and I have now been informed that this is true for Spartanburg as well, it's snowing. And when I say snowing, I don't mean that like light little dust flurry kind of thing we're used to. It's snowing. I went outside during the break. It's snowing. Put it this way. I wrote something really funny on the back of somebody's car in the snow. It's gone. That's snow, okay? Like, I wrote a funny thing on the back of Chris's car. Now it's gone.
Yeah, snow. It's only been about 5 minutes, so.
Yeah, it's gone.
That's pretty quick that it got
it's
coming
snowing,
up.
It's snowing. So if you got to drive this morning, if you don't have to drive this morning, don't. If you got to drive this morning, be exceptionally careful. If you can text your boss and say, hey, boss, I'm really sorry. I'm uncomfortable driving these conditions. Do that. You have our explicit permission to use this as an excuse to not go to work. Second thing I got to tell you is we are going to bump Rashad Beard back. His due to weather conditions in Charlotte, he's got to drop his daughter off at school at a different time. So instead of 8:40 joining us, Rashad Beard will wrap up the show in the final segment at 9:40 today, meaning that we have Lulu Kessin coming on here in mere seconds from now. We'll have Hayton Ask Mario at 9 o'clock. We'll do Fight Club at 9:20. We'll do Rashad at 8:40 to close out the show. The 8:40 segment, now the audio blitz.
I was right to question about whether it was snowing in Charlotte, I guess.
Looks like it. Looks like it. So that's where we are. That's what we got going on now.
No, I moved here to get away from this stuff.
Buddy, it's in your blood. All right? Buddy. It's in your blood. It follows you. That's just how it goes.
It won't follow me when I follow the law that's been laid down by my ancestors before me and head to Florida.
My ancestors before. No, there's enough of y'all down there. All right? We don't need you anymore.
Man, I'm going to be the most amazing talk show host at the Villages. It's going to be amazing.
You guys want to talk about golf? I love golf. You know what else I love talking?
No, we're just going to talk pickleball. That's all. I mean, you know.
I love talking to our next guest. She's a young lady who covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News over in Columbia, South Carolina. The illustrious Lulu Kessin joining us here on the show. Are you getting assaulted by the white stuff right now, Lulu Kessin?
No, there is no snow here. I'm very surprised to hear all this reporting of snow. But regardless, hey guys, good morning. Glad to be on. Hope you're doing well.
Doing exceptionally well, Lulu Kessin, because I'm inside. And I'm not like an anti-snow person. Like, I like it. I moved up here from Florida. We get snow in Greenville, like, well, I was told, once every 2-3 years. This is like the third or fourth time since I moved here that it's like stick to the. I don't hate the snow. It gets old pretty quick, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to go outside, experience it every now and then. But, like, all right, it's been 10 minutes. I feel like we've had enough.
Yeah, I mean, where I'm from, it's like, I think it was like negative or it was 11 degrees, felt like negative 8 the other day. So I'm just grateful. I'll take 40 and no snow than what everyone's dealing with back home for sure.
Completely concur. Lulu Kesson joining us here on the show, covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News over in Columbia, South Carolina. Lulu, the answer to this next question, this very first question, may very well be no. We'll find out. But anything with the football department, we want to update. I know we're kind of moving ever quicker towards National Signing Day. You got to kind of start to wrap up the classes for next year. We're kind of looking at the portal being massaged by a couple of schools and whatnot. I haven't really heard, and I follow you on Twitter, so I feel like I know. But I haven't really heard much. Is it all quiet on the Western Front right now, it seems like?
Yes. That said, last week, I believe it was like last Wednesday or Thursday, the list of combine invites was released. I think Adam Schefter put out all of them at once, and a record number of 11 Gamecocks invited, which was the first time, I think, since 2013, I want to say, that they've been in double digits in terms of players who got invited. Last year, I believe it was only 5, so they already, you know, doubled plus one how many they had in 2024, and it's definitely among the most in terms of SEC players invited. So some players, which fans on Twitter were kind of describing as key players, didn't get an invite. That said, a lot were very impressed by the amount of South Carolina players that did make the cut in terms of getting an official combine invite.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things. We've talked about this a handful of different times that we've had this discussion, Lulu Kesson, but every time you have one of those things, it's the most Gamecocks ever to this, or the first team that's ever done that, or whatever. These are selling points. These are. I think college coaches, when it comes to getting out on the recruiting trail, when it comes to pulling guys out of the portal, it's a job interview in both directions, right? It's players going, I should be good enough to play here, but it's also now, in the specifically and especially in the NIL portal era, it's also coaches selling the program, going, look, here's what we can do for you. Here's why we are the right fit for you. It used to be, you got to prove you're the right fit for us, and if you're lucky, you'll catch an offer. And now it's like, it's got to be a two-way transaction. Every time Shane Beamer pulls off a the most this, the first that, whatever, it goes on the resume, and it's a real good look.
Absolutely, and especially this year with who? Because you have the Demetrius Knight, the Torricellis, the Kyle Kennards, those three that, you know, Josh Simon, who transferred 2 years ago, but still, like, players who came into the program and Shane sort of gave them the year, the season, or the career they always wanted. That also speaks not just to high school recruiting, but especially the transfer portal as well.
Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, Lulu, let's check in with the women's basketball team. I'll just let Dawn Staley say it. An F for effort in a home loss against UConn snaps a 77-game home winning streak, a mark which, I'm going to keep it a buck, I don't know if it'll ever be touched, honestly, and that includes with Dawn staying at South Carolina. That's a mighty big number. Let's start with the game itself. She said it was embarrassing. She graded it as an F. I checked in, and basically it just felt to me like South Carolina had no presence in the paint, and so they were just kind of, the Huskies were kind of able to play from the outside and just be better.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. They didn't show up on any level in any way. The effort wasn't there. The execution wasn't there, especially on offense, and what Dawn has criticized, you know, yesterday in media and after the game on Sunday. There was just no flow or effort. Like, they took away everything. They made entry passes to, you know, Sanaya Fagan and Chloe Kitts and Joyce Edwards hard. So it kind of just looked like South Carolina crumbled from there. I mean, if you go back and watch, there were possessions where they really just dribbled around the three-point line or passed it around the three-point line. Like, there was no emphasis or kind of adaptability after UConn took away the first initial insert pass. And after that, I think UConn just kind of capitalized on, you know, the lack of offensive momentum that they had and beat them in transition on the other end. And obviously when you hit 13 threes, you know, a lot of teams are losing to UConn the way that UConn shot. That said, not that many teams are losing in the way South Carolina did, because a lot of it was self-inflicted errors, and a lot of it was just South Carolina looked like they, in some ways, like, not forgot how to play basketball. That's a little harsh, but just, like, the effort in everything, because rebounding is effort, you know, second chance layups are effort. None of that was there, and a lot of that South Carolina basketball was just missing.
Lulu Kessin joining us here talking about the South Carolina home loss to UConn last week. I know we've had some opportunities to kind of get it right since then. Lulu Kessin, aside from the quote about grading out an F, saying that they were embarrassed, there was another quote that jumped out, which was Dawn Staley said, and you put this on your Twitter account, at Lulu Kessin, L-U-L-U-K-E-S-I-N, for those that want to give Lulu a follow. She's fantastic. Quote, there is no silver lining. We got beat, and we got beat back. I found that interesting, mainly because, Lulu Kessin, as I try to keep it a buck, I agree entirely. There really wasn't anything from that game that I could drop a, well, at least this on. Were there any for you, or do you agree with Dawn on this?
I honestly do agree with Dawn. I think at one point there was something, like, now I'm almost trying to remember, like, at one point I thought, like, I think Mylesa Fulwiley played well, and I think she was a burst of energy off the bench, but I don't think it was enough to call it a silver lining, especially because she had two fouls, which I imagine is the reason Dawn had to pull her right before halftime or right before the third quarter. So I honestly think this was a game where Dawn had to be transparent with, you know, with us, with her players, that there's not any real good to pull out of it. And I think that she knows when, you know, I'd argue that she's proven to be the coach that knows exactly when and what to say to her players. And if there's a time to be harsh and honest and say that there isn't any good to take from this, she's going to say it. And I imagine, you know, these next three games will show if that was the right approach or not.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, Lulu, you like to catch a little bit of a breather after an L like that, right? Like, we've talked about the SEC and the men's conference, for instance. There's no breathing room for any team. There's just stacked top 25 teams, and it feels like there's very few stretches where a team gets an opportunity to play two games in a row not playing anybody. The good news here, if there's any, for Dawn and the gals, is you got a 9-18 Arkansas team coming up this evening, then a 19-7, a good Vanderbilt team, but they're 6-6 in conference, and then you've got on the road at Ole Miss. You are at Vanderbilt, and then on the road against the 17-8, but 8-5 in conference Ole Miss team. It's not like you're playing three nobodies back-to-back-to-back, but it feels like this is, with four games left, ending with a homestand against Kentucky, another decent little team. It feels to me like, Lulu Kessin, these next three games are a sharpen the iron and get ready for battle, because you'll be coming to Greenville for the conference tournament sooner than you know. It feels like these next three games may be critically important for this team to figure out whatever it was that, and correct whatever it was that went wrong against UConn.
Yes, I think that's a great point, and I wanted to almost, I wasn't necessarily hesitant, but I didn't know if it was the right time to kind of ask Dawn about this yesterday. But the UCLA loss was a really, really bad loss. I don't think South Carolina played as badly as they did against UConn, but they shot really poorly. There just wasn't a lot of offense or defense that game. South Carolina went on to win 17 straight, including five consecutive games against top 25 opponents. Then they lose in Texas, kind of a bad, like, in my opinion, I thought maybe the Texas loss was, I thought they played a little bit worse than maybe the perception of the game kind of said. I don't know. But then they have this UConn loss kind of soon after, where they're just terrible, in my opinion. So now it's sort of like, is the silver lining that South Carolina has the ability to be, you know, the angry kind of go on a 17 game win streak team again? And you want that when you don't even have 17 games left, because there's the SEC, there's three games, SEC tournament, March Madness. So it could potentially be a blessing in disguise that South Carolina got really, really kind of just beat bad very late in the regular season because it could make them sort of lock in at a time where if they snuck by UConn, you know, they could maybe have this type of game in the SEC tournament or, God forbid, you know, an early March Madness game as well. Because, like I said, yes, so much credit to UConn, but South Carolina just didn't show up, and they could not show up against any team. And so in some ways, Don might be secretly, I don't want to say secretly grateful, but it could potentially be a good thing of the timing as to when this happened in terms of how they kind of go on to win, you know, or start a new winning streak going forward.
There is, I think, Lulu Kesson, a question that has to be asked, and the best way I can come up with is this. The team we watched play last year, the team we watched bring home a trophy last year, was very clearly a very special team that had some very special players. I don't think it is disrespectful to say that, just realistically speaking, this team's not as good as last year's team was. There is somewhere in there a balance between this team is not playing as well as this team can play, and also, the standard is so damn high because of the last three or four teams that Dawn Staley's had come through, Columbia, South Carolina. To me, it feels like there's a balancing point between you're not as good as you were, but you're also playing worse than you are. Where on that spectrum do you think that team is today with four regular season games left?
Dawn alluded to that. I'll answer your question, but I'll say a quote she said yesterday is like, we're having blemishes in the form of a loss, whereas last year we had a ton of blemishes that just weren't in the form of a loss, and we were really good at disguising them. I think the South Carolina team isn't, to put it in a harsh way, isn't as good in the post. Obviously, this year they're struggling a little bit. But I also think the expectations are incredibly high because they lost two games in two seasons combined, and now in one season they already have three losses. I just think that they set a bar and a standard for women's basketball and their own program that obviously they're not living up to right now in a couple different ways, but I don't necessarily think that there's been a huge drop off without Cardoso. I think that in some ways they're just struggling internally, and even teams that return, you know, 11 of 13 of their players, you know, that happens from time to time.
Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I'm interested in two things, Lulu Kesson. I think the first is to see what this team looks like going into the conference tournament game. I mean, really how they finish the season, obviously, as we mentioned. You got four games left in the regular season conference schedule. Today against Arkansas, back-to-back roadies at Vandy, at Ole Miss, and then back home to wrap it up March 2nd against Kentucky. Obviously interested to see how this team responds to that loss over the next four games. Obviously interested in seeing what this team looks like heading into the conference tournament here in Greenville in a couple of weeks from now. I'm also interested to see what Dawn starts to do to shape the future, to shape next year. Is she all bought in on this year? Is her attention turned towards making sure next year's team is more reminiscent of the 2024 team, et cetera? Have we gotten any indication, or does it feel like Dawn Staley is bought in on continuing to push this team to try to get a repeat?
I definitely think it's both. I would be shocked if she didn't look at sort of what, I don't want to say what she was working with in terms of the post players, but I imagine that looking at, oh gosh, was that 2025, 26? Holy cow. It is a lot of kind of more serious focus on bringing in or developing further a true center or post player. Obviously, she'll still have Joyce Edwards, but I think now looking at sort of the struggles that her team is having, it's bringing in somebody, whether that's a, you know, a transfer portal grab or kind of recruiting, but very focused on what a true center can add to this team again.
Lulu Kesson joins us every single Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock Athletics. Lulu, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. You are the best. We'll talk to you next week. and check in and what the streak looks like headed to the SEC tournament.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much. It's glad to be. I'm glad to be back, and have a great rest of your week.
You're the best. Thank you very much. She's so remarkably polite. You know, you get Mario in here, he goofs off. Nothing. I love it. I love it. She's so polite. She's so kind. And you get Mario in here, and he's like, "Sup, dudes? All right, guys."
Wait, why are you going at Mario for?
Because it makes me laugh.
Okay, I mean, leave him alone. I mean, everything's not a comparison to another person. Lulu's awesome.
Lulu is awesome.
Mario's great, too.
Mario is a person. He is a person.
Wow. You're so mean.
I love Mario. I also know he starts listening earlier than he comes on, so I'm really just talking smack in case he's living. Hey, speaking of hating ass Mario, a.k.a. Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network, he is going to join us here in about 40 minutes at the top of the next hour. Rashad Beard, supposed to be at 8:40. Due to some weather up there in Charlotte, he's got to make some adjustments to his schedule. He's going to join us 9:40, final segment of the show, which means we got to talk some hockey. We got to talk some soccer. Stick with me. Going to be interesting. We got your audio blitz. Mario, Fight Club, Rashad. We all go home. The Rob Brown Show's on the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I am very excited about a thing that I genuinely hope is about to happen in American sports. The Greenville Triumph plays in a league called USL, United Soccer League, League One. There is USL Champions League, which is the top of the USL league structure here in American footy. Then there's USL League 1, USL League 2. Three leagues stacked on top of each other. However, like a traditional setup, they are Leagues 1, 2, and 3. And when you're in a league, you're in a league. However, the USL proposed something very interesting a few days ago. They proposed propping up a new league. Another USL that would be above the championship, which is the top level of current USL structure, and actually trying to make a top-tier professional outlet that would become competition for Major League Soccer. Now, that in and of itself, and I think we're all trained to think this, doesn't really feel like a big deal. If the USL props up a top-notch league and they try to make it a competitor for MLS. For those of us that have grown up in traditional American sports culture, that doesn't really mean anything because we've seen leagues propped up to try to compete with the NFL. We've seen leagues propped up to try to compete with the NBA. We've seen leagues propped up to try to compete with MLB. And those organizations have so much money and so much in the way of resources that they just can't compete. They just don't have the ability to compete. But this USL League is interesting. This USL League is going to do something different. This USL League is going to adopt the European structure of professional sports. This USL League, if it floats, would utilize what is called promotion relegation. Now, if you're not a soccer guy, don't you worry, sit tight. I'll run you through it. It's pretty simple. At the end of any given season, the top X amount of teams in any division would actually move up a division. And they would replace the bottom that many teams from the division. They would replace the bottom that many teams from the division above them. It's usually like three or four. So if you're in, say, the USL Champions League, which if this new league is floated, will become the second highest level of USL soccer. If you're in USL Champions League and you finish third place, you would actually go up to the top division. If you're in the top division, USL, whatever it's going to be called, Premier, and you're in the bottom four spots, you would actually drop down to Champions League. Same thing between USL League One and USL Champions League. The bottom four teams of Champions League would drop down to one. The top four teams, three teams, two teams, one team, whatever number they decide on. The top X teams from USL League One would jump up to USL Champions League. Now, I love this for two reasons. Selfishly, I love it because if it goes up and if it involves the USL structure in its entirety as a pyramid today, the Greenville Triumph are in play. I've heard Diesel, since I moved here 5 years ago, ask the question, do you think it's possible for Greenville, South Carolina, to, whether it's sometime soon or in the distant future, end up having a professional sports franchise? Could we get an NHL team here? Could we get an MLS team here? Could we get an MLB team here? And my answer to Diesel has historically been, since I started working here 5 years ago, my answer to Diesel has historically been, no, you don't have the resources. You don't have the infrastructure. You don't have the commitment from local politicians. The answer historically has been no. I do not think, unfortunately, that this community has the commodities to host a professional, top-tier sporting outfit. But I think it does. I think it does. Now, it's not MLS. Okay? It's not MLS. I don't think that this community is going to compete with Inter Miami, Orlando City, certainly not with Charlotte FC right up the road, Atlanta United right down the road. But here's what I do think could happen. With a promotion relegation system, and by the way, I'm going to reach out to Doug Irwin and Chris Lewis, who may even be listening right now, and see if I can get one of them on the show tomorrow to address this. The Greenville Triumph currently play in USL League One. They have for 5 years, going into year six. Had a pretty good run. Had a good run with John Harkes. Won a championship. Made the finals a number of times in a row. Been to the playoffs every year. It's a good team. It's a good team at USL League One. If that level of success was to continue, there is an opportunity at some point that the Greenville Triumph could, if this new system is propped up, and if it works, and if promotion relegation is part of it, which it looks like it would be, the Greenville Triumph, with just another year like the one they've had, could jump up to USL Champions League. Now, the competition obviously gets a little bit better. The competition obviously gets a little bit stiffer, but so do the resources. There's more money in the Champions League that would come to town. There's more money that would go into the team. There's more money to invest. You would end up being on TV more. You would end up having more national exposure. You're able to sell more merch, get more people coming to matches, et cetera, et cetera. You do that for a couple of years. Maybe you stay in the middle of the pack. You rise up year after year. Eventually, maybe Greenville makes it to the top two, three, four of the USL Champions League. Then what? Then they go up to USL Premier or whatever it's going to be called. I love this. And the reason I love this is because it opens up professional sports to all types of new communities around the United States. But it does something else. It promotes teams that try. It promotes teams that actively invest. It promotes teams that put together a plan, execute the plan, and succeed. It promotes teams that give their fans a product that they want to watch, not a product that they have to watch because they just don't have any other choice. I'm going to tell you right now, I will be going harder in the paint in support and promotion of this USL setup than I ever have for Major League Soccer. And the reason why is this city could have a professional sports team at the top level, but it will require USL to pull this off. It will require promotion relegation, and it will require the continued success of the Greenville Triumph. You know who helps with that? You do. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Rashad Beard going to join us 1 hour from now to close out the show. Got the audio blitz coming up for you here in just a second, but I want to finish up the thought that I was having in that last segment because I kind of centralized it. That's my job. I think the USL propping up a top-tier league. You got USL League 2. You got USL League 1. That's where the Greenville Triumph play. You got USL Championship above us. Thank you, Texter, for correcting me because soccer brain took over and I said Champions League. It's not. It's USL Championship. And then, theoretically, the USL is looking at propping up a league above that that they would like to try to utilize as competition for Major League Soccer. I'm all in. I am telling you now, you will all get aggravated with me because I will become the biggest fanboy, cheerleader, promoter, whatever I can do in that product, in that league. Now, that's not to say I want to see MLS fall. I don't necessarily want to see MLS fall. I will want to see MLS fall if and only if whatever the USL builds becomes a better product. I will want to see them do more. The reason I think that it can, the reason I think that it will, is the concept of promotion relegation, which is a foreign concept in American sports. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is because owners, commissioners, etc., they, as it stands in current professional American sports, they don't have much of a reason to heavily invest in and genuinely push their team to be good.
So you don't think it's a little hard to follow? Because I think it probably will be a little hard to follow for the average fan if it was in other sports. You got to pay more attention to things. Oh, no, they didn't score enough points. They're going to get moved down. Or, oh, man, if we can just win this, we're going to get moved up. That's pretty complicated. I would
respectfully disagree, and here's why. It's not that much more to follow. You know the number of teams at the top of a league that are going up and the number of teams at the bottom of the league that are going to move down. And basically all you're concerned with is, are we going to be in the top three or are we going to be in the bottom three? Are we going to move up? Are we going to move down? Are we going to stay in the same league? Remember, the majority of teams every year are going to stay in the same league that they were in the year before. A couple of excellent teams that excel in that league will move up. And the way it traditionally works in the bigger leagues in Europe, you have your mainstays. Chelsea does not get relegated. Manchester United, who right now is having a chaotic time with their ownership and management, is not getting relegated. They might have the worst year that Man U's had in a very long time in the Premier League. They're not getting relegated. They're historically too good. They've got way too much in the way of resources. Now. That's not to say that down the line you couldn't ultimately end up having a team that maybe got promoted from the championship level up to the Premier League that takes full advantage, is able to invest, is able to generate growth, is able to eventually become a team that stays in the Premier League, maybe at a mid-level. Maybe they grow a big fan base. Maybe they move up. Maybe they're able to generate enough revenue, income, enough in the way of finances to build a top-notch stadium. Now, all of a sudden, they're a tourist destination. They start bringing in more fans. Now, they're able to attract better players because they have more money to go around. If this league goes in that direction, If it is propped up, established, utilizes promotion relegation, and it all works. I think Greenville, South Carolina is on its way to having its first top-level professional sporting event. I think the Greenville Triumph could very well morph into a USL League One team that has played at a high school football field, is now currently, and a wonderful partnership, by the way. I don't mean this with any sense of disrespect or degradation. I promise you, I'm at every game. But they're utilizing Furman's football field. 2026, they'll have a new stadium up in Malden at Bridgeway. Super excited about that. But this is the kind of thing that, to me, really benefits Greenville. Because if the Triumph go out there and they just do what they've been doing, just be inside the top four annually, or at least way more often than not, get a crack at it next year to move up to USL champions. And if they go there and they get relegated in the first year, great. They learn some lessons. You get a little bit better. You spend a year at the champions level. You make a bunch more money. Now you can take the money you earned that 1 year, and even though maybe you step back and generate a revenue going back to USL League One, you got a big pot of money you earned from having more opportunities the year before. Now you can invest that into getting back there and staying there. So what happens with a team like Greenville? They show up, they support, they move up to Champions League. Now, all of a sudden, they're playing some bigger clubs. They're playing some clubs that are a little more notorious around the country. They're playing clubs that have larger fan bases. What's that mean? That means when those clubs come here to Greenville to play an away match in the GVL, yeah, they got a bigger fan base that goes, you know what, we're going to head down to Greenville, South Carolina. We're going to go watch this team play. We've heard lovely things about the upstate. Let's go check it out. The boys are playing a roadie down there next Saturday. Let's go down. And now all of a sudden, you double up the number of fans that are coming from away. What's that bring? Ton of money. Ton of money into the market. Ton of money. More on TV. Ton of money to the Triumph. Ton of money to the community. This is a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful idea for American sports because of the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's the first thing that jumped into my head. The Pittsburgh Pirates refuse to spend money. They just refuse to. They won't do it. They go find a Paul Skeens. They're going to have Paul Skeens play out his rookie contract. He's going to win a Cy Young. He's going to be great. And the minute that Paul Skeens' contract comes up, and he's won a couple of Cy Youngs, and he's worth a $100 million contract, Pittsburgh's going to go, now we're good. We're good. Good luck wherever you are next, Paul. Have a great time. Because they don't want to spend that money. They never have. The owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates is going to sit back. He's going to watch a dedicated fan base that loves their buckos continue to show up to games, continue to put money into the coffers, continue to buy jerseys, continue to buy tickets, continue to watch them on TV. Which means that he not only gets to work out his regional TV deal, which is going to pay him a ton of money, but also he gets the MLB television revenue that comes into his franchise. So the owner of the Pirates gets to sit raking in money year over year without actually ever trying to make the team good. What would be the attitude of that same ownership group if the bottom four teams in Major League Baseball every year were relegated down to being a single-A team? How much different does that look? If the top four single-A teams replace the bottom four MLB teams, they got to go up to the show. They got to host Major League Baseball games. They got to be on Major League Baseball networks. They got to be on ESPNs playing Sunday Night Baseball a few times a year. Even if they have a smaller stadium, they're now a tourist destination that all of a sudden the Braves want to come there and the Red Sox fans want to come there, et cetera, et cetera. How much different does that look? Now, what does the ownership group do? They go, wait a minute, if we get relegated down to second level baseball, we lose an ass load of money. And at the end of the day, as we have pointed out over and over, the reason that these owners don't try is because they're going to make a bunch of money and they don't have to try. But now they would, because they'll get replaced. They'll get replaced if they don't try. That's why this system works. That's why this system is utilized across Europe, across Asia. It's because it works. It's because it makes owners try. It makes owners invest. It makes owners go get players, pay those players, upgrade the stadium, make themselves a tourist destination. Because if they don't do those things, they get relegated, they go down a level, they lose a bunch of money. You can't just be like American professional sports owners where you sit up in your ivory tower and your big old Dr. Evil chair that swivels around and buy sharks with freaking laser beams on their heads. You gotta try. You got to field a team. You got to be competitive. Because if you don't, you'll get shipped down to a lower level where you have less money-making opportunities. You will make less money. The revenue will not be there. And then you have another opportunity at that point, which is you can try to be dominant at that level, get promoted back up to the show where you can go back to making more money, or you can do nothing there. You can do nothing there. And you can just hang out at that level and make a little bit of money, not as much as you would if you were in the big show. Or you can still go, hey, you know what? I make a good enough paycheck here. I'm not going to do anything. And then what happens? Get relegated again. Now you're down to the third level. Now you're down to Wrexham, if you follow that at all. Now you're down at the third level. And when you get down to the third level, what happens? Even less money. Less people to come to games. Less tourists coming to your town. Less people buying jerseys. Less people buying tickets. Less, certainly way less TV time, which means way less TV revenue. There's no argument against this system other than the people who profit the most off the teams do not want it. That's it. That's the only reason. If we had promotion relegation in the UFL and NFL, the Cleveland Browns would have to try. The Birmingham Stallions would get a crack at moving up to the NFL. That's better for the people of Birmingham. It's better for the people of Cleveland. You know the only people it's not better for? The Haslams. That's it. It's the only people it's not better for. Why? Because if they get relegated, they lose a bunch of money. Well, if there is one thing the billionaire sports owners will start putting boots to ass to accomplish, it's make more money or lose less money, however you want to look at it. This system can and will work. I mean this when I tell you, I am going to be obnoxious in my support of this new USL idea. I am going to be obnoxious in my promotion of this. When this league fires up, Alonzo and I have made the joke 100 times. You know, when the UFL fires up, USFL, XFL, UXFL, whatever it's called this year. When that league fires up, I'm going to watch it this year. I'm all in, baby. And I'll watch a weekend. I'll watch opening day, maybe week two. And then I bail out because I got baseball on. Because I got soccer on. Because I got NBA on. Whatever. I'm out. Because it's not top level. Y'all, when the USFL...
Or because it's warm outside and you just want to go outside.
Or there's that. Well, that's why I built myself an outside watching TV area for this summer. Got that done. Threw me a little rock garden outside.
Looking outside now, you're really going to be able to hit that soon.
Very clearly, I said for the summer. I'm going to be obnoxiously in support of this USL system if they pop up I'm just going to say it's called the USL Premier League. If they pop up this Premier League, I'll be watching every weekend. I will tell you that it will slot right up there in the list of things I mandatory watch. I will be a consistent, steady, reliable pair of eyeballs. And I'm going to go ahead and say it now at the risk of getting myself in trouble. I don't care. You'll all be coming along for the ride because I will be talking about it weekly. I will be doing a USL segment. I'll be doing USL updates. I'll be doing interviews with managers and players and owners. I'll be doing everything I can to promote this league because if they prop up this league and if this league works, two things happen. Number one, it will show Americans that promotion relegation benefits literally everybody except owners who get relegated. And if you're an owner who is threatened with relegation, do you know what you do? You try. You invest. You pay. You upgrade. You do all the things we all want our owners to do, and about half of us are lucky enough to have that happen. Because if you don't, you lose money. You can spend some money to make some money, or you can save some money to definitely lose some money. Billionaires ain't really fond of not making money. It's literally the only thing they concern themselves with. You do not become a billionaire without having a sole goal in life of money, 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 money. That's it. So if we get to a point where we create a system that says you try and you succeed, or you make less money, or you actively lose money, do you know what happens? They'll try. They'll invest. They'll buy in. And now all of a sudden, fans of teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates, fans of teams like the Cleveland Browns, they'll turn to their owners and they'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. For years, we've let you get away with this crap because, frankly, there's not a damn thing we can do about it. And that's bad. But now, there is something that can do something about it. The system. Relegation can do something about it. Now I can be a Pirates fan and I can still love my Pirates and I can still tune in to watch them. Maybe I'm watching them at a lower level. Maybe I'm watching them at single A ball next year. But I can still tune in and watch them and I can still get enjoyment out of the game, out of the sport, and out of my team. But now there's a threat to the owner. There's never been a threat to the owner. You can spend as little money as you want. Now you can't. Now you got to buy in. Now you got to invest. The second thing that happens, Greenville Triumph have been towards the top of the USL League One table year after year after year after year after year after year. There's a reward for that if we have promotion and relegation. They go up to USL champions. They go up to USL champions. What happens? Teams get tougher. Games get tougher. Roadies get tougher. But you get more money to invest back into the program. I know for a fact the ownership and management of this team will invest because that's all they've been doing with this team for 6 years. Five of them I've been here for. They invest, they invest. Would you look at that? All of a sudden, the Greenville Triumph, 2-3 years down the road. Top five. USL Champions League. Then what? Now you're promoted to USL Premier. And Greenville, South Carolina has a top-tier professional sports team. And what we have to do, nothing more than play good footy. It's great. It's great. Joey B just popped in the chat. He said, can you imagine a Triumph game where they have a chance to go up to the championship or to the premier? You want Greenville to be a big deal city? Having a major league sports team goes a long way. And here's the thing. You don't have to flirt with a league. You don't have to beg a league. That team is literally already here. It is here already playing. I've been going to their games for 5 years. It's already here. All we got to do is say, if you do good, you get rewarded. Unlike the billionaires in charge now who, if you don't do anything, you're how you can be bad and you get rewarded. Not anymore, sucker. The promotion relegation model is the best way to handle it. I will be a big time supporter, endorser, promoter of whatever this new league's going to do. I'm also a big time supporter, promoter, and endorser of Lonzo.
Awesome idea for soccer. There's a song about it for, you know, NFL and NBA. It's called Dreamer. You should look it up. The Charlotte Hornets defeated the LA Lakers last night. Yeah, that's it. 100-97, led by Miles Bridges, 29, and LaMelo Ball is 27 points. Ball also had 6 assists and 5 boards. It's Dreamer, you stupid little dreamer. That's just the part that popped in my head. While Mark Williams first came back from the negated trade to LA, like I'm still going to finish this, saw him put up 10 points and 9 boards. LeBron James with 10 of 22 for 26, but missed a game-tying 3 with seconds left to force overtime. So I only got through one, whatever. Yeah. I still got through it. Tune in Saturday at 11:30 a.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the VMI Keydets. It's Furman versus VMI right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.